All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whew. I think you're ready for Hawaii.
That's the intent. I'm bringing my Hawaii energy in today. It feels warmer already. Breathe. I can hear the ocean. It's awesome. All right. Day three. Can you believe it? So far we've been doing, foundation building, building up these smaller skills so that we can start assembling them into processes and so on, that's going to be kind of the focus today. Is now we're going to start working on some of the actual NLP change work processes. So one thing I'd invite you to be aware of is this group is extra unique in that we have a wide range of people with a wide range of skill levels. There are some people in here who already have taken NLP and maybe have developed a fairly high level of skill. We have hypnotherapists, coaches, and so on. We have some that this is all brand new. This is all brand new, first time. And so to train to the group, we have to make sure that we catch up the beginners up to a place where they can have enough skill set to start working on the skills. It's a little bit, it reminds me of like the martial arts training. You start off learning the basics, right? So you have the fundamentals, the mindset, the philosophy, and that kind of thing. And then there are elements that make your basics good. So it makes your basics effective. You know, so we start learning how to hold our bodies in ways that if we make a move, that it's an effective move, so that it's going to have the intended effect. Then you start assembling those basic moves into techniques. So now you have assembled a set of techniques to deal with a specific thing. It might be, again, in the martial arts context, it's how do you deal with a specific type of attack or something like that. In NLP, it would be how do you now assemble this into a process that can be used for a specific outcome. At the practitioner level of learning, it's an important thing to get good at following the steps of a process. Just like if you were, following a recipe to produce a chocolate cake, for example. You have the recipe, you follow the steps, and if you follow the steps well, you'll probably produce a nice chocolate cake. So at the practitioner level, you become a really good technician at being able to do these processes, follow the steps as you've learned them, as they've been created, and so on. And then you start to get another layer of understanding that you understand the principles that underlie the processes and the patterns underneath them. And at that level of understanding, then you start to get the ability to be like the master chef. And now you know what all the ingredients are, you know what they do, and you can start assembling these skill sets into a custom, you can do designer NLP, basically, where you can customize what you're doing for the person, for that exact person in that moment for their outcome, and you may never do it that same way again for anybody else. So just like in the martial arts, once we have all our basics and our skills and techniques, it's not like, somebody throws a right punch, I'm going to do this particular technique to get them. Now you have to adapt on the fly in the moment and just be responsive to what's happening in present time. And so that's the same with NLP. You start being able to adapt in real time to whatever's happening. And so these levels of learning, some of you may have seen these before. So when you start to learn something, or actually before you even start learning, you're in this state of unconscious incompetence. And so that's where you don't know that you don't know. Like before you even heard of NLP, it was something not even in your reality that didn't even know I didn't know NLP. And there's vast numbers of things in the world like that. Then you get into conscious incompetence. Now you're exposed to it a little bit, and now you know that you don't know. So it's like, but maybe you're intrigued, maybe you're interested. It's like, I see the potential in this, and I'd really like to learn it. So then maybe you start reading books and taking training and things like that, and you start to develop some conscious competence. So at that level, now you can do it, but you have to really think about it. You have to be conscious of it. Like, you remember when you first learned how to drive a car? you know, your first time behind the wheel on the road, like how present you were to every little thing, you know? I remember taking the first drive down 7th East in Salt Lake City, and I'm driving down the road, and the instructor says, okay, now signal, look over your shoulder, check your rearview mirror, look over your shoulder again, and then do a lane change. So the first thing I did is I looked over my shoulder and went like that. Instant lane change, right? And so he's like, no, you got to check and look and all this stuff. But now, you know, once that you've driven for a long time, you know, most of that stuff drops into unconscious competence. And now you do most of your driving behaviors you do unconsciously without even thinking about it, and do it quite well, do it quite skillfully. So this unconscious competence is when you've integrated something so well, now that you can do it largely without thinking about it. You're all in the process of moving through this and in various places with various things as you're learning. And again, the more practice you get, you're going to move into the higher levels of competence. So I just wanted to mention that as we're starting off this morning. Yesterday, we talked about setting intent and the importance of that and the power of that. We're going to do that again here shortly with your mastermind groups for the day. We talked about the perceptual positions, which you had a couple of experiences yesterday with walking in another person's shoes. We did the inner experience with thinking back to an argument, moving around. And then this morning, if you made it to the practice group, Damon did a fabulous job of taking it to the next level, which is where you can actually guide somebody through this process using spatial anchors on the floor. We also, we talked about the fish frame, and we're out of fish already. You guys picked up all those fish and gave them, and I even got fish. That was awesome. So I want to offer you today, and this is very, very rare, very, very rare. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen another trainer do this, but I'm going to give you a flip chart fish, all right? Now, a flip chart fish is an extra magical fish because it's a group fish. And that as you're looking at the fish through the whole rest of the day, it will remind you of how magnificent you are as a group. And the coaches and I have been talking about this really is an extraordinary group. And you might be thinking, oh, they say that to all the groups. Yeah. But every group is unique. Every group is unique. Every group has its own personality and dynamics and everything. And we are very, very impressed with this group. So you might be surprised that every time you look at this fish, it'll remind you of what that's like. And you can feel really good about how you are as a group. So we did the feedback or the fish frame, and then we talked a lot about rapport and the importance and the value of rapport. When I think of rapport, it's one of those things that makes everything else effective that you do in NLP. If you're in rapport, it's going to facilitate every other thing that you do in NLP. If you don't have rapport, I would suggest your first priority is to get it back. Get it back. So you can go back into mirroring, matching, and pacing as a way of reestablishing rapport before you move on with a process. I would also suggest that you assume from now on that rapport and sensory, things like rapport, sensory acuity, and a few other things that you'll get down the road, they're just a given. Those are built into every other thing that you do with NLP. Sensory acuity, rapport, ecology, there's a few other things that you would just naturally, automatically assume that's gonna be involved in every other process. So we don't have to like put it on the handout that first establish rapport. That's a given. So just assumed at this point. Use your sensory acuity and respond to what's going on. That's a given from here on. So I'd invite you to build that into your intent. We talked about the representational systems and the different ways that you can observe somebody's, how they're processing visually, auditorily, and kinesthetically. Gave you many, many distinctions that you can track on and notice patterns in people. Just out of curiosity, did anybody, like after class last night, actually observe, practice, do that with family members or so on?
A few? Video.
Huh? A YouTube video? Okay, yeah. So a few. And again, I encourage you to build that into your natural way of being. A lot of these skills, NLP, once you integrate it and it becomes a natural part of the way you are in the world and a natural part of the way you communicate, That's when, to me, NLP takes on a whole new level of elegance. Because it's not like you're doing a technique. You're just an effective communicator. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, you're just effectively communicating. And you're helping facilitate change in people very quickly, elegantly, and so on. And it's just natural. And it doesn't have to be like a formal session that you schedule an appointment with somebody to do NLP. So to give you a little preview of today, we're going to do our mastermind groups here in a moment, so you can set your intent. Today is going to be mostly about doing full-blown NLP processes. So we'll talk about accessing states, anchoring states. We're going to do the new behavior generator process, which is a way of installing new behaviors or replacing old behaviors that don't serve you. We're going to do the circle of excellence, which is a wonderful way of developing an all-purpose state of excellence that can serve you in many, many different contexts. And we'll talk about the neurological levels of change and the neurological level alignment process. So it's going to be a full, rich day, lots of practice, opportunities for you to assemble what you've learned so far into actual change work processes. So with that, any questions, comments, or sharings from our time last 2 days to today? Well, I'm going to take that as a good sign that you've picked it all up, it's integrated, feeling good. I can hallucinate all kinds of good stuff out of that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not, I've been known to do that on occasion. Okay, so with that then, I invite you to get with your mastermind groups and set your intent for the day. Come on back and we'll dive in. Just a quick question. Are you finding the setting intent thing valuable?
Yes.
Is that really helpful, like in the morning, to get you like focused on what it is that you want to have happen? Good. I would really encourage you to take that out into the world with you. And in the morning, for example, set your intent at least once for the day. And if you want to get into the segment intending, it's really a powerful practice. So,